Welcome, guys, to the cult episode 3. Today we have ERG, also known as Efren Gutierrez.
Hi, guys.
So, do you want like make an intro?
Sure. Hi. I run by the name of ERG. Been producing for a few years, DJing. I've shared stage with DJs such as DJ Blend, Instant Party, played in different locations, played in Vegas and stuff like that, been producing and releasing music under a few labels, mostly US based, but I also work with some techno labels outside of the country and Europe and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And you're also in Ocaso Records, right?
Yes, that's the current label I'm actually mostly working on. That label is actually it got started by one of my friends. Her name is Linda. She runs by the name of Acid Diamond, and we've worked a lot together. Like I've played in a lot of the shows she's invited me over to, and then we've worked in the studio together for a bunch of releases. And she told me around the start of this year that she was trying to start a record label, and she wanted me to kind of help her because she wanted to kind of expand a little bit, because her specialty is techno and tech house. That's mostly what she's known for. But she likes the stuff that I make under my moniker because I cover a lot of genres like drum and bass, dubstep, mid-tempo, trap. I try to do a little bit of everything just to keep it interesting. And she was pretty much interested in trying to expand the label to get more bass music in it. So I'm kind of working with her and running the show with it.
Nice. So, is she your friend or what relationship, if there's any?
Oh, she's a friend of mine. She's a really, really good friend of mine. I kind of bumped into her music on SoundCloud just one day that I was kind of just browsing, and I kind of started contacting her because I kind of felt that what she was making had potential, and we kind of started talking about working together and working on stuff. And we ended up getting some releases done, some remixes that she started doing for some people that I work with. And after working together in a few releases and stuff like that, she was kind of on the mindset of starting her own label and kind of started talking about it. We planned it out, and we got to the point where we have a few releases up now in Beatport and other stores. But yeah, that's the label that I'm working on with mostly as of right now, just because I'm kind of like running it.
Nice. I mean, it sounds like a really good success right there.
It's cool. It's very different once you actually start running the stuff yourself rather than actually waiting in other people for the release dates and all that stuff. When you're more hands into it, it's a bit more interesting. It's quite fun actually.
It does sound fun. But as for DJing, do you DJ? Have you DJed like around locally in the Borderlands?
Here's the funny part. Like I said, I've played a bit more often in Juarez than I have played here in El Paso. I've just haven't had a chance to get in touch with a lot of people. I'm trying to do that a bit more. I started doing that a bit more this year, but I never really had a chance to get in touch with people locally. That's something I kind of always struggled with, to be honest with you, But I do occasional live streams and stuff like that, and I do have a couple of pages where I upload my stuff, like my mixes and my original music and stuff. But as of like playing here locally, I haven't had a chance to. I've talked to some people, but I really haven't had a chance to lock something down yet and give it a shot.
Yeah. I think live streams on like online live streams are kind of like the move right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Going back to being as it was a few months ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Facebook, but I mean, I've heard that they were like kind of like go strict on the
Yeah, that's why I kind of stopped doing it for a while, because I was very constant about it. Then I heard a post, and I tried to do a live stream, as a matter of fact, about 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken, a day or two ago. And it didn't, like my streaming stopped, but it was because of my app. It wasn't because something weird on Facebook or anything. So I guess it's still not implemented or whatever. They said they were going to start at the start of this month, but not sure. Man. Yeah. And to test the waters in that a bit more, see if they end up blocking my account or not. See what happens.
So, who are do you have any inspirations in music?
Yeah, I'm a bit more old school, man. Like, I started with listening to music, to electronic music when I was a kid. And my influences when I started producing are The Prodigy, obviously. Prodigy, Fatboy Slim, Chemical Brothers, Crystal Method. But as of right now, I guess the electronic music act that I follow the most has to be Noisia, dude. Like, I think what they're doing right now at the moment is incredible, like music wise and the labels are running. Had a chance to go see them live in Denver, I believe it was last year, and boy, it was one hell of a show, man. I was super super stoked about that one. And like, I was usually just mixing basically just kind of like electro house and breaks and stuff like that. And then I started to listen to a lot of the stuff that we're doing with their labels. And it's because of that I started mixing like some other stuff like Halftime and drum and bass. And they kind of cover a bit more in those areas now. But yeah, they have been a huge inspiration for what I'm doing as of right now.
Yeah, I think one of my inspirations. I mean, you've heard of Dead Mouse, right?
Yeah, of course.
I think he's like a major inspiration for, you know, for me making house music, I guess.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, Dead Mouse, like, he's been around for a while, but like, I like his earlier stuff a lot more than I like his current stuff. But I believe that the new stuff that he's putting out on his label right now, like all the techno, like Io and Cyan and all these artists, all the techno he's putting out recently in his label is super, super top notch.
Yeah. Wait, have you heard of his circa 2006 stuff?
Yeah, like that's the kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I was listening to back in the day, you know. The collabs with Sebastian Legger and stuff like that. Chris Lake, all the collabs. And those are the clubby tracks. Those are the tracks that I was like actually spinning out in the house parties and all that stuff back in the day. But yeah, no, his stuff, like, he's a pioneer, man. He's one of the people that put the music, that took it from the clubs to everywhere, you know?
Yeah, he's the guy who just kind of helped Skrillex blow up.
Yeah, Yeah, it's a funny story. Like, I don't know if you heard, because yeah, I mean, Skrillex was the one that Deadmau5 was the one that kind of signed his stuff. But after he was done with his band, he actually went to Holland, and he actually crashed with the Noisia team for a while. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were kind of giving him some pointers and stuff, and they kind of guided him to that direction. And after he went with them, I think he crashed with them for like about a month or so. And in that time frame, that's when he got that EP done that he sent to Deadmau5, and I guess the rest was history. But yeah, it's because of those guys that we actually got Skrillex, and it's pretty funny how things like that happen so quickly. Sometimes people don't realize that there's so much story, there's so much history behind all that stuff.
Isn't like a Noisia part of the Ausla? What label?
They run their own labels. They run like three different labels, but they've had a bunch of releases with Skrillex, like on his label. Yeah, they had a few, like they made this collab project with the Foreign Beggars called Iron Legion, and they released like a full album and Osla. It's pretty damn sick. It's a pretty good album. But yeah, when Skrillex was already starting, they were the ones that were kind of coaching him. I didn't know that till recently. I'm like, what? It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, crazy. All right, so moving on to your questions about your music. What do you think? What do you like to produce more? What genres do you like to produce more? Dubstep, house music, drum and bass? What is?
Well, here's what I like about music in general. The cool thing about it is that you can always make whatever your mood is. You know, like if you're in the mood to do something mellow, something just clubby and stuff. But right now I'm having a lot of fun with drum and bass at the moment. I'm doing a lot of bootlegs. I'm doing a lot of freebies. I'm doing a lot of tracks just for people to download and stuff. But I think drum and bass has been floating my boat recently. Not only like in DJing or production, but just in general, I'm just listening to tons of drum and bass at the moment. But I'm also pretty consistent with techno and electro. So those three would probably be the genres I make the most. As of right now, it would be techno, electro, and drum and bass. But I try to do different genres just because I like to learn. I like to do different things. Since I mix different genres, I'm always trying to make like remixes and bootlegs and edits on different genres just so I can throw in some of my own club edits to the sets. And that's what keeps it interesting, man. But if I were to say like what's my go-to genre as of right now, it had to be drum and bass right now.
Yeah. Speaking of drum and bass, do you think the genre is currently booming in popularity, or what's your opinion?
I think it is, man. I personally do believe so. It's always been kind of big in Europe, like especially like in the UK and stuff. But in the US, I'm saying this because I recently, actually last year, I had a gig in Denver, and I got to play with some pretty big people over there. Some good friends of mine that are running some shows, and they're running some label nights, and they're running a few labels and stuff. And their whole project is called Quite Low Records, but under that moniker, they also run events and stuff like that. And I got to go play a gig, which was the first gig I ever did for drum and bass. And the vibe was so different, man. Like it was very, very interesting, like to see people just completely immersed in the music. Like I went to play and everybody was vibing on the dance floor. And after I was done and I was just walking around the whole rooms and the whole area, nobody was in their phones, man. Everybody was just vibing. Everybody was just chilling. Nobody was taking video. Only the people that were running the show were the ones taking video and stuff like that. But nobody else, like the people that attended the show, everybody was just vibing out. And to me, that was something really, really, really interesting, man. It took me back to the old school days when people were like, right, like just raving and just having a good time and enjoying the moment. Yeah. But yeah, man, I think that, yeah, the drum and bass scene is kind of getting a bit better here in the U.S. But definitely Denver, it's where the whole drum and bass thing is going on. Like the big, big names are playing there. But it's going to some other places, man. Like L.A., for instance, it's having some really big names for drum and bass there as well. It's kind of making its way into like the mainstream. Like you see some big names like Sunboy and Skrillex and stuff. They sometimes drop some drum and bass tracks, and they always go nuts when they pop them live. So I feel like it's getting there. It's not as big as it's in the UK or Europe for that matter, but it's getting there, man. It would be awesome if it got to that point eventually, but well, I guess we're gonna have to wait and see.
Well, speaking of drum and bass, have you listened to Fox Stevenson?
Oh, yeah, man. Crazy. Really, really good producer, man.
Yeah.
Actually, Monster Cat, like the drum and bass that Monster Cat's putting out, it's super crazy, bro. Like Coven, oh, man, you should listen to Coven. Oh, my God. They just released an album a few months ago called Butterfly Effect. Holy cow, man, that album is from start to finish, it's great. And yeah, Fox Stevenson is also really good, man. I drop a few of his tracks every time I'm making a set and stuff. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah,
definitely Monster Cat is a really interesting label just because of how diverse their music is. But yeah, there's some really, really interesting artists out there. There's making some really crazy, crazy stuff out there. I was gonna say, I was trying to think. There's a few labels to keep in mind. Just to one day that you're bored, or anybody who's listening is just bored, and they're like, yeah, I want to kind of dig into some drum and bass, but I don't know where to start. There's a few labels that just by going to their catalog, any track that you listen to, it's just usually really big. Monster Cat, obviously, it's one of the big ones out there. They're messing with a lot of drum and bass at the moment, but Critical Recordings, Critical Music, Ram Records, and Vision, which is run by Noisia. With those three, just browsing on those three, you'll find so much interesting and diverse music. And there's so much to browse around there just to drop a few DMB tracks in your sets for like dubstep and stuff. It works pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this sounds like really good labels. Like I could actually, you know, submit one if I want to.
Oh yeah, those labels are pretty good, man. They're so diverse. And then that's as much as I'm doing right now as in like trying to listen to new music and stuff in the scene and stuff. I'm trying to like produce a bit more. Like I have a pretty interesting EP coming up with one of my friends. It's a little collab EP. That one should be coming out before the end of the year, but we're trying to get the single sorted out. We have a few releases before that one is up, but it has a little bit of everything, man. It has some UK garage. It has some deep house. It has some drum and bass, some halftime. It has a little bit of everything, man. It covers all the spectrum. It's a very solid release.
Yeah. But anyways, I think you sent me like a few tracks. What track did you want to be teased on podcast?
Let me check which one. Let's see which one I sent you. I mean, if you had a chance to check them out, you can pick whichever you like the most. If there's one that you liked in particular, they were both, if I'm not mistaken, they were both mid-tempo, if I'm not mistaken. You can pick.
Is the four riot one mid-tempo?
Oh, that riot. That one is actually, that's actually a drum and bass track. If you actually want to go ahead and tease that one, because that's actually it's going to be the main single of the forthcoming EP that I worked with my friend. And we actually went back and forth a lot, kind of going through that track. I started actually building the drop, and my friend started doing the intro and the melodics, and we went back and forth and back and forth, bouncing stems, because he works in FL Studio and I work in Ableton. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting going back and forth with all the samples and the wave files and re-editing and all that stuff. It was a good time. It was fun. It was very interesting. I think that'd be a good track for you to preview.
You're listening to Emmanuel Basto and the RG Riot.
Frequently put out some, well, you know, some flips, you know, you, because I've seen a couple of your tracks called, you know, ERG flip or something like that. Like,
yep.
I kind of thought you would have some expertise on what the difference between a, is there any difference between a flip or a remix?
Well, if you ask me the way I see it, usually when somebody makes a flip would be mostly like an edit, as in like a remix. Like sometimes, as you would know, they'd send you like the whole remix packet, like, oh, here are the stems, go ahead and work with all the original parts of the track. And as in a flip, you're just taking the whole track as is and just kind of doing a little extra work off your own on the original track. So I would feel that like a flip would be more, would be a lot closer to an edit rather than like a full on remix, just because like in some of the tracks, I don't have the full stems. I just have the original track to work on. So I would personally feel that flip is simpler per se.
So it's like kind of like chopping up parts and you know, kind of.
That's usually what I do. Sometimes I just take the bridges, like the intros and the breakdowns, and then when I do the drop, it's usually my own drop, and I do something to it. Like I make my own drop in the track, so that's usually what I do most of the times when I do like a little flip or an edit.
Yeah, that actually sounds like a good differentiation.
Yeah, that to me would be a at least in my point of view, that'll be how you split it up. You know, if you do a flip, it's something a bit more basic, as you don't have the whole stems to fully work on with the track.
I've also noticed Emmanuel Basto. Is he a separate Elias, or is he actually another guy?
Oh no, he's another friend of mine. He's a really, really good friend of mine. We've worked on a few projects. He's on Mexico. He lives in Mexico, a bit further down over there. But we're usually sending each other demos and stuff like that. And I talked to him about doing like a collab EP. Mm-hmm. And the first track we started working on was that one, was Riot, was that track. That was the first track we actually did as a collab project. But we had some issues. We got some technical difficulties, and we actually lost a few of the files that we were working on. So we ended up doing instead of doing the collab EP with like both of us actually writing the entire EP, we kind of took turns, and he gave me some originals, I did some originals, and we just did that collab track to kind of put everything together, that EP.
So do you know what happened to this files, or is there like story behind this?
The thing is that some of the files got some of the WAV files in the servers where we sent them. Obviously, we use a service called WeTransfer, and they usually clear your links after 7 days. He had some issues with his computer, and there's some files that he couldn't recover from his computer. The links expired, so tracks ended up getting lost because he actually had issues with the hard drive. So yeah, unfortunately, we lost a few projects, but the ones that we managed to rescue were pretty decent. So I felt they kind of went together, and we put them together as a whole release, but we got everything else sorted out now. So from here on, we're hopefully not going to have as many issues, but yeah, that's mostly what happened. That's why it ended up being more of a compilation of some work that we had to kind of work together instead of like us working together and completely original material.
Okay, so is there like a platform you use to like, you kind of like a cloud platform you use for collabs these days?
Or... like the way I like to do collabs is that when I produce, I actually do a lot of sampling and stuff. Like I do a lot of cutting and editing and resampling so much stuff. That's why when I usually collab with friends, they either send me stems or they send me like parts of drops and sections of the song. And then I just do my arrangements, and then I bounce them back a wave file, and we kind of go back and forth with waves mostly. Just because surprisingly, I've actually collabed more with people that have FL Studio rather than Ableton, which is kind of interesting. So
yeah, same. I'm a FL gang right here, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is that once I got a MIDI keyboard when I was in high school, I got a MIDI keyboard and it had Ableton on it, and I was just messing with it. And I kind of liked the flow from Ableton, and I haven't used anything else since. But I mean, I've been using Ableton for like 10 years, bro. It's been a while, man. I don't think I'd give it a shot going to just another DAW just because I've messed with this one for such a long time.
So how long has it been, like how long have you been producing music, by the way?
Yeah, like about I want to say like about 10 to 11 years, close to that.
Yeah, it's
been a while, man. Yeah. It's definitely been a while for sure.
Yeah, you're like a veteran music. You're like a music veteran right now.
I wish, bro. Not even close, man. I'm just a chum, man. I don't know squat. I just love the music, though. That's why I'm in it.
If you're in it, I mean, yeah, go for it. Like, just do your thing. Yeah,
it's usually the best thing to do, man. Like, always just do it for the love of it, you know? Like,
yeah, not for.
I've always been into it since I was a kid. I was always messing with music. And
yeah. Like, is there any instruments other instruments you play?
Not really, bro. Just keyboard, just keys. I'm fairly decent. Like I said, I'm not super good at it. I think my only real true talent music wise is that I have a really good ear. Mm-hmm. Like I just listen to it. Like when they tell me, oh, here's a track, remix it. I'm good to figure out what key is on just by listening to it and just kind of making arrangements just by listening to it, you know, like not really any music theory or anything complex like that. It's all by ear, man. I listen to a track, I listen to a bass line, figure out what key is on, and then I kind of start making my arrangement from there. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I do on the fly, man. I listen to a track and figure out that's how I go around doing my edits and remixes. I just figure out what key they're on and then just make my arrangements on. What really excites me about about the opportunity that I got with my friend, with Linda, is that at least now we have a platform for people. Like, we're constantly looking for people to send us demos, and if we like what we hear, we'll definitely put it out. We don't try to lock anybody in a contract. We just lock the releases for contracts. So if somebody else hits them up, they're free to do whatever they want. And we're just releasing the tracks, not really them as signees to the label, mm-hmm. per se. But yeah, man, that's been one of the really interesting things at this moment, like finding new people and getting demos and hearing them out. And that to me is really fun, because I was kind of lucky at the start of my stuff, because I had some people, the right people, actually listened to my tracks at the right time, and I've managed to put out music in some of the labels that some of the producers that I really admired. I got some releases in the same labels as them, and for stuff like that, I'm always going to be like thankful for the opportunity that I got. And I kind of want to return that favor with all the youth now, like all the people that are kind of up and coming and stuff like that. That's what we're trying to do with Ocaso Records, man. We really don't care if you're established or not. If we like what we hear, we'll definitely work with you.
Yeah.
That's why we did that remix competition. There's still a few days left for that. But yeah, man, it's all about supporting the up and coming producers, you know. Like, I was lucky when I started, I guess. And I just kind of want to return the favor.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to, the artist doesn't have to be local, right? It can be anywhere.
Oh yeah, of course, man. Right now, some of the releases that I've got sorted up for some upcoming releases. We got some of the remixers that are from Slovenia. They're going to send us a few remixes. We got some people from the UK, and we got a lot of locals as well. But yeah, man, if we dig something, we'll definitely put it out. It doesn't matter where it comes from or who puts it out.
Yeah.
It's just about the music, man. We're trying to share and give people a platform, you know?
Yeah, guys, you know, for you producers out there, you know, guys, hit up Ocaso Records.
Yep. you can just send us the demos. You can send them directly in a message just through Facebook to our page. You can send us a message there with a demo. You can send us an MP3 link or a SoundCloud link, whatever you want. And we really are not focused on a specific genre. We're just looking for electronic music in general. Right now, the releases that we've been putting out, they're mostly been tech house and techno, but we're not really locked up to a specific genre. We're open to, we got a few mid-tempo releases coming up. We got some drum and bass coming up. We got some dubstep as well coming up. And we really don't want to make people feel like, oh, well, they're going to be asking for techno, or they're going to be, no. Whatever floats your boat, if you're just proud of that track, send it over and we'll listen to it.
Yeah. Just feel free to submit some country. I'm just kidding.
That's hey, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You never know, man.
You never know. I mean, country house, country.
that'd be some interesting stuff, bro.
Who knows, maybe.
There's a market for everything, huh?
Yeah. True. But yeah, yeah, guys. So I'm just gonna leave the links down to the description with Picasso Records and all that. And
cool. Yeah. We're also trying to get. Right now, I'm in the process of sorting everything out. But I also want to do. I want to be more connected with the fan base, because I mean, all the labels be like, "Hey, here's the new release. Go ahead and buy it and stuff like that." But I'm actively working on getting a bunch of my own remixes. Obviously, not the signed ones, or not the ones that are officially out in other stores because of the labels. But mostly like my own personal edits and my club tracks and the stuff that I play in my shows. I'm planning to do like little freebies, you know. I'm working on a few downloads for the people that like the label or just follow us on SoundCloud and stuff. I'm planning to send out a bunch of, just a bunch of freebies so they can do a download and get a bunch of free music as well from the label, you know. This is a little incentive as well, because I mean, everybody's like, oh, here, buy my new stuff. But I also want to give some music for either the DJs or some people just to listen to in their phone and stuff. I'll get those going fairly soon. Trying to.
Yeah. Also, saw that you reposted a track by Patrick Cloud called Cyclops. Do you have a connection with Patrick? Or is he local?
Oh no. He's actually he works as a content creator for an online channel. It's in YouTube called All Deaf, and he's a comedian and stuff like that. But he also does music and stuff, and I just thought, because I always watch his stuff, it's mostly the comedy stuff, and I've heard that he made music and stuff, but I never got a chance to hear it. And I listened to that track called Cyclops, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty interesting track. And I made a little remix for it, like a little flip. And I just uploaded the track and shared his original, just because I took the liberty of taking his track and doing something to it. But nah, his stuff is just hilarious, man. If you go to All Deaf and YouTube, you'll see all these channels and content they have, and it's just hilarious, man. I'm always watching all that stuff on YouTube. It's very funny. But he's mostly like comedian and content creator, but pretty funny guy. Super hilarious.
Yeah. Since you have so talking about drum and bass, have you ever dwelled into, have you ever gone into melodic drum and bass like that?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. to me, making melodic music, I don't know why, to me, to make melodic music is, it's so much harder. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I just focus so much on bass lines in whatever genre I make, that to me, my melodics are mostly for my bridges and stuff. They're not really the main part of my track. I think that's really a trademark that I have in my sound. It's mostly the bass that I focus on. Melodics are kind of like a little sprinkling on top just to add a bit more depth to the track per se. But to me, I find it harder to make melodic, like either dubstep or drum and bass, just because the melodics and the harmonies, like, sometimes are a bit too complex. And when they go harder on the melodies, the bass kind of takes a, like, the back seat of the track, because it's mostly sub basses when you're talking about something melodic, like in dubstep or drum and bass.
Yeah.
The bass becomes secondary and it gets stuck in the back. And I personally do not like that. I like the bass to be the main attribute of the track. That's why I don't really write a lot of melodic music, just because I'm not into all the sub basses and stuff like that. I really like, you know, the distortion. Like I pop so many distortion plugins in my bass lines and stuff. I really like it to stand out and pop, you know. I really think that's the reason why I haven't really produced anything melodic in any of the genres that I make. Perhaps just one of the most melodic tracks that I've written was one of the tracks for this EP that's coming up. But like I said, it's mostly like I'm just a fan of bass lines, man. That's really what makes me like a track, the bass line. If the melodics are not there, the drums are not there, but it has a good bass line, I'm all up for it, you know? So I kind of follow that pattern in production, and I guess it's a little bit of a trademark to my production, I guess.
Yeah, so you're all about the bass, right?
Yeah, literally, like, yeah, that's, yeah, like, even when I make my sets, like, it doesn't matter even if it's techno or if it's like breaks or whatever, if all the tracks that I play on have a really good bass line on them. And I guess that's really what I like about this music, just the bass lines. So.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting question. I really never sat down and thought about that till today, which I was like, it was something I was doing almost subconsciously and never really thought about it till today. And I'm like, oh, interesting.
I mean, yeah, kind of interesting that I made you think that way.
Yeah, no, like, it's something I've been doing for years and never really thought about it till you said it. Like, why haven't I made anything in the lottery, I guess? It's interesting. It's an eye-opener for sure.
Yeah. Do you have anything upcoming? Do you have any upcoming EPs, singles, albums?
Actually, I do have an album that I made a while ago. It's really interesting because I cover a lot of genres in that album, man, like from lo-fi to drum and bass to glitch hop to electro. It has a little bit of everything, man. Yeah. The only bad thing, I mean, I haven't mastered the album. I just have the WAV files, but the computer where I did the whole work is totally trash. It doesn't exist anymore. So I just have the WAV files. So, the only thing I have to do is just kind of master the WAV files before I put it out. But I think I'm actually going to give that one as a free download. But I haven't kind of done anything for it because I need to master the whole album pretty much. But there's a pre-order of a techno EP that I just made. It's two tracks. Once again, this is an Akaso Records. And it's following up. After this release, what's coming up is going to be pretty much going through the tracks that they sent for the remix competition and kind of going through which ones we like for the comp. And then putting out a whole remix EP out for that release. And then after that, we're going to do a few singles for that EP that we just, for the little track that you just played. That's going to be the final single before the EP comes out, which the track is called Riot. Okay. And then after that, I have to see if my friend Linda has some other releases ready. If not, I think we're going to be looking out for some demos from people, because we had some demos before that we've gotten sent to us. We just kind of go through them and kind of work on the cover art and all that fun stuff. Yeah, for coming up, that's what we got coming up fairly soon.
All right, so do you have any fun, you know, fun stories? Like, yeah, fun stories. Doesn't have to be about music, like, just anything fun stories, really.
Yeah, dude, like, well, since we're kind of talking about music, I think it'd be interesting to kind of keep it music related, but it was in my gig when I played in Vegas, man. It was actually really, really funny. I was hanging out with my friends that invited me to go play in that show. And we were going to be the ones closing the show. And we were just kind of chilling beneath the stage as the other DJ was about to wrap up the set. And this was an open air event, though. Like, they had like a lit up stage, flamethrowers, the works. It was super cool. And but we were down in the stage, and this is like an open area in the desert, right? Like, it's completely open. There's nothing around there other than some food trucks in the front, right? And past the stage, obviously there's nothing there, man. It's just a desert. There's nothing. There's nothing lit up. There's nothing there. And we're just chilling. We're just talking. And all of a sudden, man, from where the whole parking area starts, this girl starts screaming at the top of her lungs, bro. Like she was screaming like if somebody was like stabbing her or trying to kill her or whatever. It's crazy. She starts screaming. And then we're looking at her like, what's going on? What the hell? And then we see this girl, and she just bolts through in front of the stage and towards the desert where there's no lights. She just kind of runs there, but she's completely naked, man. She's not wearing anything. She just runs.
Wait. She didn't have anything, like no bikini, no nothing?
No, nothing, bro. Completely nude, like nothing. Not even fucking shoes. Not even shoes. And she was running through the goddamn desert. And she was just screaming at the top of her lungs. And then there's some friends of her, like, chasing her, I guess. But she bolted like hell, man. The friends were trying to keep up with her, and they couldn't. And this girl just left. And we were like, whoa, what the hell's going on? We don't know if she was tripping on something, man. She maybe did too many shrooms or something, whatever. But she just bolted. And like 20 minutes later, the friends come back with her, and she's covered in a blanket, and she's shivering, freaking out. And we're like, whoa, dude, that was crazy. That's literally the craziest thing I've ever seen, like in a rave or a party or something.
Yeah.
It was a trip, man. That's probably the craziest thing I've seen, like, in a party.
A good song right there. So, well, I think I'm out of questions for this, unless you want to say anything.
Oh, like I said, guys, well, first of all, thanks for the invite, man. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
And go ahead and check out our Facebook page or SoundCloud page for the label. Check out Acaso Records. We're trying to be a label for upcoming producers, to be honest. We're really trying to be a label where people feel comfortable sending their demos and knowing that they'll be heard, you know, like locals. Doesn't matter if you're barely coming up. Doesn't matter if this is the first track you ever produce. We'll definitely go ahead and take a second and listen to it and give you some feedback. Let you know what's good at the track. Give you pointers. And if we dig it, we'll go ahead and sign it, you know. Really want to give a platform to people. We're also going to be planning to doing like little just contests, just give... do little giveaways for just the fans and people in general, you know, just merchandise giveaways and stuff like that. The label has kind of started recently. We've been out for a few months, but I mean, we just started the label, so we're barely getting the hang of the whole thing. But we really want to make something not only for producers, but also for the people that listen to the music and enjoy the music. We want to give extra things to people, like, you know, some free music, freebies. We're going to do like little competitions and stuff like that, just to send out free stuff to people. And yeah, I mean, just go ahead and follow us on the page and we'll keep you updated with all the fun stuff.
Yeah, be sure to check that out, guys, in the description. And... yeah, so guys, thanks for tuning in to Cold Podcast 03 with ERG, and we are out.